If I could, I'll just start out with a couple of brief remarks, and then I do want to respond to you guys' questions if I could. We've done a few interviews this morning, and obviously there is a strong interest in the farm bill debate that is going on in the Senate. And let me just say first and foremost that, you know, we are very anxious for the Senate to take up this farm bill, to complete action on the farm bill, to get this bill to conference, and then to get a good farm bill onto the president's desk so that our producers can understand the rules of the game going on out there. Harvest is wrapping up, particularly in the Midwest, and producers are beginning to make their plans for the 2008 crop, and they want to know. And I understand that, and we should do all that we can to get them the rules of the game going forward. Now, having said that, I will tell you, and you are aware, that we do feel like the Senate passed farm bill, the Senate committee passed bill, has really gotten off on the wrong track. And we came out very, very forcefully against that bill for the sole purpose of getting it back on track, again, so that we can get this bill done and information out to the producers. When I say on the wrong track, let me just say that fundamentally speaking, this bill overspends very, very substantially. It meets, we are advised, I guess, the rules of Congress's paygo, but it does so in a very, very misleading way. We believe that there is $37 billion, by Congress's own numbers, of additional spending in the Senate-passed bill, $37 billion, over the baseline spending from the 2002 bill. That $37 billion occurs in two ways: $15 billion of new taxes, first time we've had a tax increase as part of a farm bill since 1933, $15 billion of new taxes, and then $22 billion of what I would describe as some of the most egregious budget gimmicks that I have ever seen in this process, $22 billion. If you add those up, taxes, budget gimmicks, they have spent $37 billion over the current baseline. That's unacceptable to us. Again, just fundamentally speaking, it's the wrong direction for a farm bill. It makes farm bills extremely difficult to justify out there in farm country. It makes them difficult to justify anywhere, you know, in the country. And that's not where we want to be. We want to be in a position to absolutely go out there and say, by golly, this is exactly what we need to do in terms of our farmers, and demand support for it. And I believe we can get support on all corners of this country for a good farm bill, but not one that raises taxes on others, certainly not one that totally hides the true cost of the bill. Now, also, I think you guys need to be aware as well that we have pointed out strong concerns with some of the policy side of this. And I will mention one in particular and go through a longer list when I give my more prepared remarks a little bit later. But obviously the key one is for a farm bill that raises taxes and has budget gimmicks associated with it, we look at this on this side, and on the other side we see a farm bill that refuses to do anything about the fact that some of the wealthiest people in America today, those with adjusted gross incomes over $200,000, are the recipient of a lot of our farm program payments. This is wrong. It's wrong to be taking middle income taxpayer dollars and transferring that in the form of a farm income support payment to the people that are some of the wealthiest people that reside in America today, particularly when you consider that some of those people in that category have really no direct, or in some cases even indirect, ties to the farm at all. And you've seen us and heard us point out the fact that in New York City, you know, you just get a lot of farm program payments tracking up and down Park Avenue in New York City. Look, this is fundamentally wrong. We need to stop making those kinds of payments. Save that $1.5 billion. Use that $1.5 billion for other priorities that we've identified, that I've really gotten no pushback from Congress in terms of those priorities. They've supported our priorities conservation, energy development, rural development, help for the fruit and vegetable sector. Those are important priorities. Congress has acknowledged those. We make some reforms like the one I have suggested, then you don't have to resort to silly budget gimmicks. You don't have to resort to tax increases to fund those kind of priorities. We're going to continue to push this. We want to get this bill done, but it's got to be a good farm bill. It's got to be a farm bill that recognizes that there needs to be some changes in order to fund very, very important priorities for the future in order to sustain what is really incredible economic growth going on in agriculture today. These are great times for American agriculture. We got to work, though, to sustain those times into the future. The only way you're going to do that, we believe, is with a good reform-minded farm bill that invests in those things that are going to be important to our future economics. So I'll stop there on the farm bill as well. Let me just mention as well, too, that we were very, very pleased when Congress and the House overwhelmingly approved the Peru Free Trade Agreement last week. They did so by about a 2-to-1 margin in terms of the vote, and that's a strong vote coming out of the House of Representatives, not one we've seen on a trade bill really for quite some time. So we're anxious to see that carry through to the Senate to get Peru done, but as well, even more importantly, to see a schedule established for passage of both Colombia as well as the Panama free trade agreements as well. Let me just say with regard to Colombia that 2 weeks ago, Ambassador Xu Schwab and I were down there for took a congressional delegation to Colombia so that all of us and the congressional delegation could see firsthand the progress that is being made in Colombia. Some great things going on in that country, some important developments in terms of future friendship in that region of the country for the United States of America, and that's very, very strategic for us. I will say on the ag policy front, though, on the ag trade front, these trade agreements, Colombia in particular, dovetail so nicely with U.S. interests. These are countries that, for the most part, produce products that we have to import into this country. And we do so, I might add, for the most part, duty-free for their products coming into our countries. But our products going to them, and there's a strong demand for our products down there, do not enjoy duty-free access. These free trade agreements are about leveling the playing field to give our producers what those producers in those countries already have, and that is duty-free access. I think that is the reason you're seeing strong, overwhelming support in the House. Again, we hope that we will finish off Peru here, get a schedule to consider Colombia, and then Panama, and see these Latin agreements proceed forward because they are just simply a win-win situation for American agriculture. So I'll stop there and take questions. Yep.